All right, Psalm 27, and my wife and I did this as a devotion while we were at the wedding on Saturday morning. I think it was Saturday. And we were doing it as a devotion, and I said, that'll preach. And so now it'll preach. So just a departure from 1 John. The Lord did kind of move me to do that and try to be sensitive to what the Lord wants me to do. And this was one of them. So I don't know when I'll get back to 1 John. I do intend to finish it. I believe that's what the Lord wants. But for today, at least, Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. And Psalm of David. And I don't know if you ever thought of David. Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. And that's the only person in the Bible that it says that of. And yet we know that David did sin greatly. But he was also a tremendous man of God. Trusted in God, walked with God. God used him tremendous ways. He wrote many of the Psalms. Much of Samuel is about David and how God used him in Israel. And this Psalm of David is just a tremendous challenge, really, for us. He talks about who the Lord is and what the Lord does. And of course, you know, on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about prayer. And one of the things I said last Wednesday was that God's love is unconditional, but pretty much everything else is conditional. Now, he unconditionally loves us. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been, what you've done. His love for you is perfect and true, and he sent his son to die for you, and that's open to all people unconditionally. Yet everything else is conditional. Even salvation is conditional. If you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you have this, then you'll get this. And the promises of God are conditional. And so this title, Wait on the Lord, I don't know what comes to your mind, I guess, when you hear the term wait on the Lord. A lot of people, in fact, I was just talking with somebody this morning, I said that's really going to be the whole part of the last verse is really the most important verse in Psalm 27, and that's where I'm going to spend the most time, although as you can see, there's a lot of blanks to fill in. But the perception this person had was, you know, you pray to God and then you just wait for him to answer. You wait for something to happen. You wait, you know, and that's really not what the word means. And so we're going to get into that. But David understood this, and he shared with us some great truth. And so let's just dive right in. Who the Lord is, and that'd be the first six verses, is going to cover that. And normally I preach out of the Holman, but today, for you traditionalists, I'm in the King James, because I just like it better for this psalm. It's just the wording is so much better than the Holman, in my opinion. And so I decided to go with it this morning. So, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired, of the Lord that will I seek after, that I may dwell in his house all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's the first part. We're going to look at that first, and then we'll finish it off. But David is showing us who the Lord is. And he says in verse 1, the first part of verse 1, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. And it's interesting, in 2 Samuel 21, Samuel writes, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. In other words, he was wearing out. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giants, so this is one of the giants like who David slew Goliath, okay, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, which is about 8 pounds. You figure the head of that spear was 8 pounds? I mean, this guy was a dude. I mean, you got a spear that long, and you're going to throw that thing, and it weighs 8 pounds? It says he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. He was going after David, because you know if you take out the king, you're going to rout the army. It says, but Abishai, son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And then the men of David swore unto him, saying, "You shall no more go out with us to battle, that your light would not be quenched in Israel." And he says, the Lord is my light. So David, you know, he was a dynamic leader. He's a man of God, but he was also a man of war. He was a tremendous leader. And yet it's talking about he was the light of Israel. And, you know, all of us have a light. We all have a light. We are supposed to be reflecting God's light to a dark world. And we are light in this world, in our homes, on the job, in the marketplace. We are light. And I guess the question is, what kind of light are we? Are we the kind of light that illuminates, that breathes encouragement to people, or are we a downer? And, you know, we should be reflecting God's light, just like the moon reflects the sun's light. Man, when you have a full moon, you can see pretty good outside, even though it's dark. Reflecting the light. We're not as bright as the real light, but we should be reflecting. And what kind of light are you? That's really the question. That's a question we need to ask ourselves from time to time. What kind of light am I been lately? Have I been glorifying God? Are people able to see God through me in some way? We need to ask that question. But David said, the Lord is my light. You know, when we're not reflecting God, who are we reflecting? Who's our light? And so it's something that we need to be aware of. But David said, the Lord is my light. And then he said, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, there's salvation's only in one name. That's Jesus Christ. He's it. And David knew the Lord. And the Lord used him greatly. And he realized that there was no way he could work his way to heaven. There was no way he could do enough good things to please God. That in pleasing God, the only way you're going to do that is to accept God and to understand who He is and what He's done on your behalf. And the Lord is my salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one road. And unfortunately, in Matthew, I believe it says, the gate is narrow and few be that find it. And we need to understand there's only one way. It's a narrow way. It's Jesus Christ. Is the Lord your salvation today? Or are you looking for salvation in some other way? There is no other way. The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Someone once said, I have learned that if you fear God, you have no one else to fear. Think about that. In another place, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When you are afraid, that's not God, folks. Could be you, could be your flesh, could be the adversary. Okay? But it's not God. Fear God. And if you fear God, you don't have to be afraid of anyone else. You know, and David, you know, he says, you're my stronghold. You are the strength. I like the way the King James puts it. The Lord is the strength of my life. Who's the strength of your life? You know, for a lot of people, it's some other person. I've heard people say that, oh, they're my rock. Well, I hope not. Because you know what? If you put your faith in men or women, you will surely be let down. People are fallible. People, we're people. People are people. And I think probably I'm pretty safe in saying every one of us has probably let someone down at one time or another in our life. And we've probably all been let down by somebody at one time or another in our life. But David had his eyes on God. Do you think David was let down by people? Man, all through the scripture in Samuel. I mean, his own sons rebelled against him, tried to take the throne. Yet the Lord was his stronghold. You know, it wasn't even the fact that he was king. He was king, and Absalom came after him. And instead of saying, I'm king, I'm going to do this in my strength, he just ran. He just said, you know, the Lord's going to bring this about. And he went off. He wouldn't fight Absalom. And the Lord did take care of it in a way that really grieved David. But it was the Lord's doing, not David's. Is the Lord your stronghold, or are you even your own stronghold? Where you're trying to manipulate the situation. You're trying to make things happen. And I think we all have that tendency. You know, I just, when something's going on in our life, okay, I'm going to try and, you know. And it's not that we should just be totally absent from life, but where's your faith? You know, on who are you depending, yourself or on God? Who's the stronghold? It's an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's a mindset. Who do you turn to first? You know, I've done this several times in my life. I exhaust every way I know how to do, and then when it doesn't work, I go, okay, God, why didn't I just go there first? It would have saved me a ton. Ton of effort, ton of pain. Why do I tend to try and work it out rather than just go to him first? Let him be the stronghold. Let him be the guide. The Lord is my confidence. You know, he just got through saying, you know, he's my light, he's my salvation, he's my stronghold, of whom shall I be afraid? And then it says, when the wicked, you know, it's not if the wicked are going to come against you. It's when. It's when. When the wicked, my enemies, my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. The Lord was his confidence. And you know, David, he was chased all over the countryside by Saul. Saul was after him for years. And he, you know, he would not, in his own words, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. He had opportunity to kill Saul. He got so close to Saul in the cave, he cut off part of his garment with his knife or sword and then went away. And, you know, and his men were even saying, here's your chance. And see, and here's a man, David, that was anointed king. He already been anointed by Samuel. You're going to be king. I've removed, God told him through Samuel, I've removed the throne through Saul's line, and it's going to go through the line of David. And so here's a guy that's been anointed. He could have just as easily said, hey, I'm anointed. I can just take him out. But he didn't. He trusted in God to take care of the situation. He didn't take it into his own hands. His confidence was in the Lord. The Lord told him he was going to be king. He believed he was going to be king. And he didn't have to take matters into his own hands to accomplish that. Are you confident in the Lord? How much do you finagle things to make it happen your way? Or the way you believe. And you can even know that God has got this for you. Just like David knew that God was going to make him king one day. But he chose to wait on the Lord. To do it properly. To do it in God's way. In God's time. And you know, a lot of times we know that God wants to use us or do something in our life. And we know that's the direction we're going. But we kind of jump the gun. We kind of get it on our agenda rather than, you know, our confidence is in what we can make happen rather than what God's going to do. Where's your confidence? The Lord was David's confidence. And I hope he's yours. The Lord is my dwelling. This is referring to the temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after him. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, the secret place of the tabernacle, you know what that is? That's the Holy of Holies. Because you got to remember, Jesus hadn't come yet. So we had the tabernacle, which was the tent in the wilderness. That Moses commissioned to have made, and they had the main area where they worship, but then there was this curtain, and there was a special place, the secret place, the hidden place, where the Spirit of God was. He dwelt there, and the Ark of the Covenant was there, which, you know, it sounds really cool, but it's really just a wooden box that was overlaid with gold, but it had the mercy seat sitting upon it. The lid of it was the mercy seat. And that's where the priest would shed blood that one day a year when he would come into that most holy place and atone for the sins of the whole nation of Israel. That's the secret place. It's almost like David saying, he's taken the mercy seat and he's placed me in his box and he puts the mercy seat over me. And I'm safe. And you know what? If you've received the mercy of God, you're safe. If you've received God's grace, you're safe. And you know what? You're the tabernacle now. You are. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He dwells in you. That is an amazing thought, folks. I don't know if we really totally grasp The God of the universe resides in people. And if you are one of those people, he is in you. And the Bible says in John, he says, abide in me and I will abide in you. You know, are we abiding in him? He's in us. How much of us is in him? Is the Lord your dwelling? Is that where you're at? Because you know what? When you're in him, you're in the safest place ever. And that's what he's talking about. All these people were seeking after him and in times of trouble and his enemies and all that. And he says, you know what? When you dwell in the Lord, he sets you on a rock. It's like going to the beach and you walk on that sand and it gives, you know, and you try to run real fast on sand. Really hard. It's really hard to do. But you get on something solid, you can stand. It's firm. Are you standing on God? Is he your dwelling? And so David says, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. He's my stronghold. He's my confidence. He's my dwelling. He's personalizing it. You need to personalize. Don't just read these things. Make them personal. Is he your light? Is he your stronghold? Is he your confidence? Because see, when you make God this in your life, there's things that the Lord will do. There's things that the Lord will do. And that's where we have 7 through 14. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face far from me. Put not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. First thing we see here is the Lord hears me. Isn't it a marvelous thing that the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, hears us? You know, so many times when men and women attain a position, all of a sudden other people, they don't listen to them anymore. You know, I just got through reading about Solomon. And Solomon took over, I was reading Kings and just got through with Solomon. And his son, Rehoboam, took the throne. And he said, what should I do? And he goes to some advisors, and these were learned men of God. And they said, take it easy on the people. Be gentle with them, and they'll serve you forever. And then he went, and instead of listening to them, he says, I'm going to check out my friends. What do my friends have to say? And they said, just lay it on them even worse. You're the king. And so that's what Solomon did. And the Lord took 10 tribes away from Solomon. I mean, Rehoboam. I'm sorry. That's what Rehoboam did. And God raised up another king of Israel and took 10 tribes. And Rehoboam just had 2 tribes left because he didn't listen. He was the king, but he didn't listen. And actually, Solomon didn't listen so well either. He did it first, but then he just kind of went his own way as well. But the Lord, even though he's the creator, God of the universe, mighty, high, and holy, Yet he comes right down where we are as individuals, and he's ready to listen to you. The Lord hears. And when you make him your light, your salvation, and those things, the Lord hears. You ever been away from God? He's not your light. He's not your stronghold. And then you try to go to him, and sometimes it sounds like, feels like the prayers just bounce off the ceiling. But boy, when you're abiding in him, he hears. If we pray and believe, he graciously hears and answers. You know, he doesn't owe it to us. You know, God doesn't owe us anything. He gave his son. That's it. He doesn't owe us a thing. Yet he graciously hears and answers. The Lord hears me. You see, this is that conditional thing. If the Lord's your light, salvation, stronghold, you know, then he'll hear you. He'll hear you. Verse 8, the Lord desires me. The Lord desires me. When you said, he's speaking of God, when God said, seek you my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What's that verse? We love him because why? He first loved us. He's the initiator. We certainly weren't. He ran after me. I certainly wasn't looking for him. I was doing my own thing. And he came after me. The Lord desires me. Can you, man, get a hold of that? The Lord desires you. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants you to be with him. The Lord wants to do things in your life. He wants to use you in a good way. You know, when men and women use one another, it's usually not in a good way. But when God uses you, it feels really good. It's really good. He desires you. But you know what? I think when we kind of go our own path, I don't think he desires us so much. When I'm doing my own thing, he doesn't want to use me. He wants me to get back to where I can be used. The Lord desires me. 9 and 10. Oh, this is a good one. The Lord cares for me. The Lord cares for me. Hide not your face far from me. Don't put your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. This is one part I don't like in the King James. It says, they translated it when. It really should be translated if, and it is translated that way in other versions. If, you know, he's making a point. You know, it's not, hopefully your mother and father have not forsaken you, although it does happen, doesn't it? It absolutely does. It is disturbing. How many, this woman just a week or two ago went into the bathroom at some store and had this baby and left it in the trash. She gave birth, left it in the trash, and walked out. Toilet, thank you. I mean, there's been a bunch of them. I think one was left in the trash, as I recall. But, man, you just, oh, I can't comprehend it. But he's making a comparative statement that even if your parents forsake you, the Lord cares. The Lord cares about you, even if your parents don't. And you know, and I hope your parents do and did or did. You know, but regardless of that, the Lord does. He cares. The Lord cares for you. He cares for you so much, he guides you. In verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. You know, our enemies try to get us on other paths. You know, you may think you have friends, but if they're kind of leading you in a direction that is contrary to the Word of God, they're not your friends. They're your enemies. I hope you understand that. When you know something to not be proper, not be right, you know that it would not please God, and they're trying to lead you that way, they are not your friends, folks. You need to understand that. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says the wounds of a friend are faithful. A real friend, if you are going down that path, a real friend will come to you and say, you shouldn't do that. And you might get mad at them. You may even feel wounded by them. But that's faithful love. That's faithful love. The wounds of a friend are faithful. That's a real friend that's willing to put, quote unquote, the friendship on the line for your well-being. Because I've seen people try to help their friend, and then the friend rejects them and says, you're not my friend anymore. That's a real friend, though, that's willing to put that friendship on the line for truth and for what's right and for what really will help rather than harm. The Lord guides us. You know, he says, he will lead me in a plain path. He will lead me in a level path, in another version. And when you walk with God, the path may be narrow, but it's plain. It's plain. We can lose our way. We can lose our way. There's an adversary out there that wants to deceive you. He wants you to think certain things are good and okay, and they're not. And he will deceive you. But the Lord will show you in a plain way. He will lead you through the deception. Deception is very insidious because it's one thing to lie, but it's another thing to get people to believe a lie. And that's what deception is. You're believing a lie. And God will lead you through deception. You stay close to him. You won't get deceived very often. You'll be good. Occasionally you may, you know, kind of let go a little bit, get fooled. But you stay close to him, you'll be on the right path. He will guide you. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. He's your guide. He's a comforter. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's all those things. Listen to him. Listen to him. He wants to guide you. Verse 12, the Lord sustains me. Deliver me not unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. The adversary raises up his people. You know, when Christians or people that are trying to follow God are trying to do what's right, the adversary raises up his people to bring temptation, to bring traps, to bring you down. Cruel lies, it says. Cruel lies against me. They breathe out cruelty. But you know what? The Lord will sustain you through that. You stay with him. He'll sustain you. He says, deliver me not over to their will. Whatever it is they're trying to do, he's counting on God to keep him out of it. He's counting on God to sustain him. Verse 13, I love this one. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord promises me. He says, you know what? I would have given up. That's basically what it means when he says I would have fainted. I'd have given up. I'd have packed it in. Except for I believed that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's the land of the living? It ain't earth. This is the land of the dying, folks. People die here. You're dying from the day you're born. This is the land of the dying. No, he believed in the land of the living, the land of life, heaven, folks. He knew he was going to heaven. That's where his faith is. It's not in this world. It's not in what this world has to offer. Because the Bible's pretty plain, unfortunately. It says you are appointed to die. And everyone dies. That was one of the truths that we had when I was going on Wednesday night for 2.5 years on the book of Genesis. The thing that God kept bringing up over and over again, because see, originally Adam and Eve weren't supposed to die. Originally, God's plan was you stay close to me and you live forever. But they sinned. And the curse of death came upon mankind, and Adam and Eve had it, and they passed it on to their kids, who eventually passed it on to you and me down through the ages. And in Genesis, all through the book, and then at one point it says, and Adam died. And then Noah died. And then Abraham died. And Isaac died. And Jacob died. And Joseph died. Over and over again, God makes the point, people are gonna die. This is not the land of the living. But the great promise is there is life eternal. And every person has that opportunity. Every person can partake of that eternal life. And David said, you know, this world is overwhelming. It does get overwhelming. Except he believed that one day he would be in the land of the living. And so, you know what? I'm just going to serve God. And whatever happens to me here, happens to me here. And one day I'll be in the land of the living too. He even said that about his infant son, the one that died because of his sin with Bathsheba. And God said, you know what? Because of your sin, your son's going to die. And David said, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to plead with God. And he did that. But then the baby died. Or the child died. I'm not sure how old it was. But the child died. And then he got up. So the Bible says he got up, he bathed, he got dressed up, he went to church, so to speak, he went to the temple, worshiped, came back, said, bring me some food. And his servants go, while the baby was alive, you acted like he was dead, but now that he's dead, you're acting like nothing happened. And he said, you know, while he was alive, I prayed really hard because I was hoping God would change his mind. There was hope. But now that the baby's gone, that God's taken the baby, God has made his judgment. It's done. And he says, I can go to him, but he will never come to me. Talking of the child, he said, I will go to him one day, but he will never come to me now. You know, David had that hope. He knew. And that hope not meaning I hope, that hope meaning I'm confident. I'm going to see my son again in the land of the living. And so when things get really hard, don't you think it was really hard on David, knowing that it was his sin that condemned that child to death? And isn't it crazy how God works sometimes? That child who did nothing wrong died, and David, who should have died for the sin he committed, lived? Don't try to figure out God, folks. God is sovereign, and he does what he wants. But the Lord promises, and you can take stock in that. And if you have Christ as your Savior, you're going to be in the land of the living one day. And then you'll wonder why. I swear, I believe this. I'm going to wonder why I didn't serve him better when I was here. Because this is the only time we can really serve him. You know, when we go, I mean, I guess we'll serve him there, but it's not going to be, you know, like this, that's for sure. Lastly, and most importantly, the Lord strengthens me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Listen, that word wait doesn't mean wait. Okay? Now, as we think of the word wait, I mean, like I'm waiting at the doctor's office, or I'm waiting, you know, for whatever you're waiting on. That's not what it's talking about. You know, when you're waiting at the doctor's office, you're pretty much not doing anything. You're just sitting there, and every time the nurse comes to call a name, you're hoping it's yours. This word wait means to bind together by twisting. It means to be joined. It means to expect. It means to look for patiently. It means to be confident, to trust, to have strength, to have endurance. I don't like the word endurance because it kind of means you have to endure something. And that doesn't have a pleasant connotation. If I have to endure it, I'm probably not having a good time. But that's what that word wait means. And he's saying, be expectant of the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. Be joined to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Get your strength from the Lord. Get your endurance from the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, the best, you know, maybe not the best, but the analogy that comes to my mind is a waiter. Does a waiter just sit around? I wonder how many miles they walk on a shift. You know? I mean, they come, they take your order, they come back, they bring you water, they come back, they get your order, they come back, they bring your food, and you're not the only table they got. And then if you spill something, they come back and they clean it up. And I mean, they're busy people. Waiters aren't waiting around. They're busy people. And when you're waiting on the Lord, you ought to be a busy person. Wait on the Lord. And he says, while you're being busy, be of good courage. You know, don't be faint. Don't give up. Don't think he's not going to move. Have courage. Because sometimes the Lord asks us to do some things that require courage. Requires getting out of our comfort zone. And he says, you know what? Have courage. Wait on me. Be tight with me. You know that another place where in the Bible, in the New Testament, talks about that twisting is it says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's talking about a husband and wife. The whole context is a husband and a wife, two becoming one. But then, interestingly enough, he says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Well, who's the third strand? Guess who? This is the Lord. You got a husband and a wife and the Lord all intertwined, twisted together. That's a strong marriage. That's a force to be reckoned with. It's the same thing here, this twisting. And when you're one with God, you can have courage even in the face of adversity, in the face of situations that you'd rather not be in. And it says, don't give up. Wait on him. And it says, if you do, he'll strengthen you. See, it's conditional. If you give up, you're not going to get strength. What do you need strength for? You're giving up. But if you're persevering, the Lord will strengthen you. I remember just popped in my head again with David. He was on the run and he was by himself. It was before he had his mighty men. He was all alone and he was hiding in a cave. And Saul was after him. And the Bible says he encouraged himself. Because you know what? There was no one else around. And sometimes, guess what? People don't understand what you're going through. They may not even have a clue. And you may not be getting any encouragement from other people. But the Bible says he encouraged himself. And you know how you can encourage yourself is you're trusting in God. Because he will never leave you or forsake you. Your friends might, but he won't. It says here your mother and father might, but he won't. He will strengthen you. And he strengthened David to stand in those days of adversity. And he'll strengthen you. And he'll strengthen me. That's what he does. So when you're waiting on the Lord, are you just hoping he'll do something? Did you just say a prayer and then go, okay, God, it's all on you. I'm doing nothing here. Or do you get busy about it? And do you have an attitude of expectation? I mean, we need to expect that God is going to act. Not hope, expect. Because why? He says it in his word. And is he not reliable? Is he not faithful? Is he not truthful? Does he not keep his promises? And I would say to you that if he's not acting in your life, you need to ask yourself, is he my light? Is he my salvation? Is he my stronghold? Is he my confidence? Is he my dwelling? Because if he's not, you're probably not going to get all this other stuff. You know, when you make the Lord your light, you can have the same confidence that David had, because you know what? You believe in the same God David did. It's the same God. The God that did miracles in David's life, that preserved him and told him he was going to be king. He made him king. He told him all those things. Even the good and the bad, God was faithful. David messed up many times. I can't even imagine. David sinned. He counted the people, and God told him not to. And to me, it's like, what's the big deal? I mean, he counted the people. But see, pride was rising up in his heart, and God dealt with it. And rest assured, if you're a child of God, he will deal with you. Rest assured, he will. Lovingly, but firmly. But it blows my mind because God came to David and basically said, you got three choices. I'm going to punish Israel because of your sin. And you got three choices. And it was like 3 days of the angel of the Lord striking down people, or 3 months of, I believe it was an enemy nation coming in and waging war, which was going to kill a bunch of people, or 3 years of famine or something like that. And he says, David, because of your sin, I'm going to do one of these three things, but you pick. Now, how would you like to be David? And you realize that you're going to choose something and all these people are going to die because of you, because of your disobedience. Once again, people that didn't have anything to do with it are paying the price. David, who probably should have died for disobedience, he's going to live. And David chose to put his hands in his nation in the hands of the Lord. He said, don't let it be famine. Don't let it be a war. I want your hand, the hand of death, that God was going to deal, just like he did with Moses at the Passover, the angel of death. He says, go through there. And 70,000 people died in 3 days. And if you've ever read this, this is just coming to my mind. I'm sorry, but so I don't know where it is. It's in Psalms. But David wrote, there's trials for today, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know if you remember that. There's a verse. It's really dark. I can't remember the exact word, but it's things today that are really bad are going on, but joy comes in the morning. He wrote that during those 3 days. He wrote that psalm during those 3 days when God was doing what he said he was going to do and 70,000 people were dying, but he knew it was going to be over. And he says, joy comes in the morning. And you know what? You may be going through a hard time, a dark time. And God wants you to live courageously. Because eventually, whether it be in this life or the next, things are going to get really good. They will. And you can believe it because God said it. So expect the Lord to honor his word as you courageously live for God. And it does take courage, folks. Some of you are facing things, situations that are just terrible. I mean, it's just, we wouldn't want people to face those things. But we do. And it takes courage to face them. But if you place your trust in him, you get bound up with him, waiting on him, twisting your life together with him, intertwining it. He'll honor his word. He will strengthen your heart. He'll give you what you need to face it, to go through it. And you will experience the Lord working in your life. You will. And you know what? It doesn't get any better than that. God working in your life is the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever. So I don't know where you're at today. How are you with God? Are you twisted, intertwined with him? I hope so. I hope you are. Maybe you've never experienced God move in your life. I hope you have, and I hope you continue to do so. You know, he just doesn't just come in and you experience him at salvation. That's just the beginning. There's a whole life. There's a whole life there of God working in your life. It's available to you. But you got to do these things. You got to do these things. And some of you, there may be someone here today that's never asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. They've never admitted to God that they're a sinner. You may have never just recognized that you deserve hell rather than heaven. I mean, you talk about this is the land of the dying. Well, hell is the land of the dead. And no one has to go there. And there may be some here today, you've never asked God to forgive you. You never asked God to save you from judgment. And he's willing to do so. You just place your faith and trust in him. There may be some here today in that situation. There may be some here today. Have you been putting your confidence in someone else? Has people let you down because you had your confidence in them instead of God? Anybody here maybe thinking of giving up? It's just, man, things have been going on. It's one thing after another. I know some of you, it has been one thing after another after another. And I know it gets so old. I know you get so tired of it. Don't give up. Be of good courage. The Lord knows. He knows where you're at. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not leaving you. Get your expectations onto him. Quit expecting other people to do what you think they ought to do. What light are you reflecting? Who's your stronghold? Where's your confidence? We have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that slipped their hand up? Brother Mike, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never asked God to forgive me for my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I've never asked anybody like that. Anybody like that? Amen. How many here today would say, you know what? I've kind of been on the verge of giving up. Just life has kind of dealt me some blows, and I've kind of, you know, I've considered it. I've thought, man, what's the point? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. What's the point? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't give up. God cares. God cares. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. Anybody here been let down? You kind of had your eyes on someone rather than on the Lord, and they kind of let you down. Anybody like that? And it hurt you. Amen. God bless you. God, man, there's several. Amen. I'm sorry that happened, but pray for them. If they let you down, pray for them. And trust in God. Wait on Him. Be busy about doing His work. And He'll deal with the situation. Anybody here say, you know what? My light hasn't been the best. I haven't been reflecting the best light. Maybe in my family, maybe in my job or community, at school, whatever. Anybody like that? I've just not been reflecting God very well. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are mighty and true, and your word spells it out, Lord. I pray that we would all draw closer to you. I pray that we would wait on you in a way that intertwines, and that we would be just bound up with you, Lord, that our path would be straight and we'd be on the rock, and our confidence would be in you. Lord, that you would be our strength and we'd quit trying to do it on our own. And Lord God, I pray that we would all experience you in a mighty way like never before. May we grow closer to you. I pray for these that raise their hand, Lord. I pray for these that you know, they've realized a few things here today, and Lord God, I pray you'd encourage them. I pray you'd lift them up. I pray you'd show them that you're real in that area, and that you have a plan, and you want to use them. Lord God, I pray you work in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for your word that encourages us and just gives us hope, Lord, gives us confidence that you're in control. You're doing these things. You are not lacking. It's your strength, not ours. Thank you for that. Thank you for the life of David that shows us how we can be men and women after your own heart. May it be so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. You deal with God as you see fit. If you need prayer and like me to pray, I'd be glad to. If you want to deal with God, you do so. This is your time. Father, Lord God, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for the relationship we can have with you, even as well as David had one with you, Lord. Thank you for that great truth. We ask you now just to bless. Thank you for who you are and what you do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.